Yes, it is Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We are The Morning Shift with Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan behind the glass. And this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And I did say Dylan's behind the glass today, but he's not.
Whoa.
Tomorrow.
What do you mean? Where's he going?
Where are you going, Dylan?
Oh, that's cool. You going on like a Falcons getaway or something?
No.
No, they're at home this week.
Where are you going? I am going to the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys game because...
You're an Eagles fan, we get it.
No, because my girlfriend is an Eagles fan and I'm a supportive boyfriend and her birthday is on Friday. So we mashed it all to, you know, a little... And her sister lives in Philly right now too, so one of her sisters does. So we mashed it all together into a, you know, Eagles game, birthday party, celebration for Simone. So again, this is me being a supportive boyfriend, not because I am an... I'm not an Eagles fan because
you almost messed up.
I saw the road I was going down. I was like, I'm not going to even say that. I'm a Falcons fan who is supporting my Eagles girlfriend. That's what I'm doing.
Sure. Is Simone and you the same age?
No, Simone is
Don't say her age. Just say if she's older or younger.
Oh, yeah. No, she's younger.
Okay.
How does she feel about you saying Friday?
I don't think she minds.
I don't think she likes it.
Don't say it on her birthday.
A lot of the things I say, she kind of just brushes off and rolls her eyes at. So she doesn't.
She's a content creator.
Yeah, sometimes she doesn't pay me too much.
Do it for the gram sometimes.
Hey, sometimes you got clip for it.
Or for the airwaves.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, kind of is what it is. Join Dukes and Bell this Thursday at Napa Auto Parts in Morrow as we get ready for the Falcons season to kick off. During the final hour of the broadcast, the Falcons and Napa will be giving away free car flags. Plus, there will be a special appearances by Freddie Falcon, the Falcons cheerleaders, and Falcons legend Jarius Norwood, one of my old teammates. That's Dukes and Bell, Thursday at Napa Auto Parts and Morrow on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm sorry. In what city?
Morrow.
Or Morrow.
Yeah, I was about to say, is it not Morrow?
How can you possibly have a different...
It's definitely Morrow.
It's definitely Morrow.
Way to pronounce
yeah. Just like Morrow. It's not Houston County, it's Houston. There's a Houston County.
Okay, but there you can see how you would get Houston. See, you said it wrong.
No.
Houston
and Houston are two different counties.
Okay, I was going to say.
The city.
Morrow is, that's just Morrow.
It's Morrow.
Morrow.
Like, say Morrow, like, to Morrow.
Take it from three people who are from the state of Georgia.
I don't think Bo agrees with you.
It's Morrow.
You're sounding like Morrow. Someone that sounds Villa Rica. That's what you say.
Yeah, there's two L's not in there. That's why I'm Villa.
Villa Rica.
Bremen. I don't know. Right.
The Rica was the bad part.
It is what it is.
Anyway, the season opener, as we know, is Sunday. Falcons will face the Bucs at Mercedes-Benz. We are counting down. I think I had that moment, though, this morning, Mike, that you were talking about you had yesterday, where I woke up and I was like, what's going to happen Sunday?
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
Immediate stress.
Immediate stress.
Where you're like, boy, I really don't want to have to operate a wake-up call on Monday after, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Not to get too far off on that tangent, but I asked Steak when he walked in there after we got done yesterday and did the Steak. I said, what are the vibes like, Steak? What are we feeling? He's like, I think everybody's just kind of wait and see mode.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's fair. You're playing the division.
Steak's a Debbie Downer on him. I'm gonna call him out because I'll be on with him today. And he was him and I had a back and forth. I think last week that I was with him. He's like, we don't know what Penix is. He was like, why should people be optimistic? I'm like, why wouldn't you be? You have a stud with a hand cannon. At quarterback now with weapons all over the offense, you have the two best defensive players in the SEC last season, and James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker on your team. I mean, there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic. Like you've gone out and done these things that you think you should do. I believe I'm not trying to sell a bucket full of hope. Or crap that disguises hope, but I think that why wouldn't you be optimistic the week of the first game as a fan? This is the only time of the year that everybody can have hope, because after Sunday, half the league's fan bases are going to be panicked, right?
I agree.
And the other half is going to be making plans for February for the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. And then it'll all even out, and then by mid-November. you might have a lay of what you really are. And it could be fool's gold still, but as we saw last year. But you know, I think you should be optimistic. Wait and see is the worst attitude for me. It's not worst. The negative is the worst. Wait and see is almost as bad. Like, and just be optimistic. Be happy. Go into it excited and ready to support your team whatever way you're going to do on Sunday or Thursday, Dylan, or Friday for Chiefs fans because they'll be in Brazil and then some on Monday night.
Yeah, I will say, and you know, but to put a bow on it, the anxiety I feel is good anxiety. It's fan anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much like my fandom is alive. Everything we've wondered about for the last, you know, 7-8 months, whatever it may be, is right here in front of us, and we're getting ready to find out if all the ingredients came together with a good recipe.
Yeah, regardless, you know. Sunday is coming.
Yes,
so we're going to find out.
We're in here.
We are here.
We're in here.
And one of the things I think we're all kind of, we're benefiting a little bit this Sunday with the fact that the Bucs are dealing with some injuries. Chris Godwin and Tristan Wirfs are not going to be playing. So with them out of the game, though, what worries you more? Is it going to be the Bucs passing game or running game?
I think it's going to probably be the passing game for me. And I know that Bucky Irving has a lot of ability there in the backfield, but I think when you look at Bucky Irving's ability to catch the ball and you look at the matchups that he could possibly have, who are we going to line him up against, right? And you start measuring that with Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman will be on the field. I think that you would try to get him in a matchup situation with Divine Diablo. But, you know, I just think that this is one of those things where you look at a guy like that, and I'm sure they're saying the same thing about Bijan, and you look at the weapons they do have out wide and at the tight end position. They've got a good slate of pass catchers, even without Chris Godwin. You know, hopefully some of that can be offset by the loss of Tristan Wirfs blocking, but we'll see how that all rolls out.
I would go their passing game. In five games, Baker Mayfield has got 12 touchdowns against us. That's not world beaten, but that's also pretty good. They've ran the ball well last season. But you know, Bucky Irving, you talk about him, he's only got 88 yards in two games against the Falcons on the ground. And, you know, Rashad White has had better success, but he's also caught the ball out of the backfield really well against the Falcons. So yeah. I would definitely go their passing, and mainly because of Mike Evans. You look at what Mike Evans has done.
Dear God.
I mean, in 19 games, he's got 97 catches for almost 1,500 yards and like 13 touchdowns. So he's had a career. Godwin's not on the field, but Egbuka he's real. Like, he is the real deal. And for all the love that Jeremiah Smith got last year at Ohio State, this Egbuka was kind of the guy during the regular season. And even in that semifinal against Texas, people forget they shut Jeremiah Smith down, Texas did last year in that semifinal. But Egbuka is he's a beast. So, and our secondary has been lit up over the last few years, mainly because we haven't had a pass rush. It's always going to be that because that's been our Achilles heel, getting after quarterbacks, not allowing them to have all day long. And now some of the success that Tampa saw last year in a passing game was a defense that sat 8 to 10 yards off the ball in the secondary.
And that's one of the things I'll be curious to see is how quickly Baker's trying to get the ball out of his hand. You know what I mean? Like, he's been so good at kind of reading and getting it out quickly. And, you know, we're going to have the game plan of whether or not we want to blitz Baker and some of the things we want to do. And he's also a guy that has hurt us with his legs at times on big, big third down conversions.
Now, I got a question. Do you think with the left side of their line being a little bit suspect, especially with Wirfs out and Charlie Heck in, do they try to come in and establish that run game early and try to put you on your heels and then start slowly the attempt to pick you apart in the passing game because maybe they feel like you're going to be a little hesitant to be overly aggressive?
That's what I would do. That's what I would do. And guys, I know we had this conversation a little bit maybe with Josh Kendall last week. Until I see the Falcons stop the run, I'm going to be terrified about our ability to stop the run. Just point blank. We saw it's like, oh, Kentavious Street will play this role, and then he's put on practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's like, who is it that this team feels like, or what system do they feel like Jeff Ulbrich's bringing to the table that leads us to believe we'll stop the run this year? And I know there's more pinching and slanting. That's one of the things about having a disruptive defensive front, you know, kind of shooting the gap and getting in the backfield and things like that. But when you do that and you don't make plays, there's huge holes left behind you. That's one of the reasons that a lot of teams don't play that style anymore. So if I was Tampa coming in, knowing that I didn't have Tristan Wirfs, I would try to establish the run. Two out of every three plays, I'd be having the pill on the ground. And I think you have to loosen it up a little bit. But, man, that is the one thing about this Falcons team where I have all this upside. And Bo talked about having positive outlook in terms of the future of this team. That's the one spot, the interior of this defense right there in the middle, that I'm like, man, I don't know what the game plan is. I really, really don't. I'll be curious to see what it is.
Yeah, I think it is going to be interesting to see how they rotate guys and where certain guys will line up. Like Zach Harrison, where's Zach Harrison going to line up? I mean, you know, is he gonna be all the way wide out there with basically the edge standing beside him or almost behind him or
right
over him, so to speak? Is he going to be a little bit more inside? What's the rotational snaps look like between Onyemata, London, Rook, and Dorless? There's a lot of we don't know, which is good because they don't know either.
Yeah.
And I mean Tampa.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said with that. I think that the way we line up in their passing down situations, getting three defensive linemen like we do to one side of the center and walking like Caden up over the left guard, and that kind of allows them to kind of have that one-on-one mindset across the board with whoever's over the left tackle. That'll be something in our favor that we do really well. But, man, the run game just – I'll be curious to see what that plan is.
Well, and one thing I do want to ask you guys about is who is the Falcons' X factor on the defense? At 8:20, we'll pick up that conversation. And coming up, a familiar face has joined the Saints. We'll zoom out to all of the NFL headlines when we go in the huddle next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass until he gets on a flight later today. We're going to go in the
so
huddle.
So many strays, bro.
Falcons fan, by the way. Not an Eagles fan. Back to y'all.
I didn't even mention the fact that you're going to the Eagles game. I just brought up the fact that you're leaving today.
Yeah, I mean, daggone, man. I mean,
don't get so defensive.
So why you just scream, I'm guilty.
I mean, there's just been so many false narratives about me made up on this show that, you know, I have to feel like I defend myself.
Well,
I have to defend myself.
I've never said anything negative or false about you.
Well, besides the fact that I'm an Eagles fan.
Well, I mean, you go to more Eagles games than many Eagles fans that I know, so shoe fits.
Yeah, that's because I'm a supportive boyfriend, which is the correct narrative that we should be talking about, not the false one that I am an Eagles fan, which is untrue.
I do appreciate your supportive nature, Dylan. That is wonderful. We're
going to
go in the huddle in a moment. I did want to ask you guys, are you seeing Halloween decorations going up around your neighborhood?
Yeah.
Because I have one neighbor that has these probably 3-4 foot spiders. They're all over the front of the house. And I want to come up with like a signature thing we can put on our house.
Where's your HOA on that
right?
one?
Where's that?
I mean, we haven't even got, no way, it's too early.
Too early September?
September 3rd.
Well, September is basically October, which is basically Halloween.
Christmas.
Which is basically the holidays. we're not big on Halloween decorations.
No.
But
I thought you did something last year with the big, didn't you?
Put a big spider web on our door, on our garage door.
I thought you did a blow up something.
Oh, no, we're huge in the Christmas decorations.
I know you did Christmas, but I thought you did something for Halloween.
I don't think so. Oh. Maybe. I don't know. It probably got a hole in it. Probably got punctured at this point.
We have like a fake cemetery that we put out.
Yeah.
But I want
like a fog machine.
Want to put like big googly eyes on our hedges and stuff.
Yeah, you definitely should. Yeah. I'm all about it, man. My kids love it. They think it's awesome. They want me to always drive around the neighborhood after daycare.
What kind of names are in the cemetery?
I'm not even sure there are names.
Ghost of Braves Past.
Yeah, I
was going to say.
I'll check back. I'll look and I'll let you know.
Real quick, Allie, do you and Grant both dress up for Halloween?
We've done tandem costumes. We've been Wayne and Garth before.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I got to be Garth. It was amazing.
I just know that Dylan and Simone dress up.
We have. Did we do anything? Did we dress up last year? Oh, yeah. I think we did. Yeah, we did. So, yeah, we have before.
Okay,
we have twice.
Are you dress up and come to work? kind of person?
Maybe.
Guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. We'll see how I feel at 3 a.m. on Halloween.
If I'll say this.
I wasn't trying to call you out. I was just curious.
Allie, if you show up in a costume in the morning, I will also show up in a costume.
Well, how are you going to know unless you guys...
We're kind of coordinating that now.
Are y'all going to... Exactly. Y'all going to be like... You gonna be like the same theme or something?
Nah, I'll just show up.
You gonna
be
a Jedi and she's a Sith?
Nah, she'll show up in whatever costume and I'll show up in whatever costume.
I'll dress up as Dylan and I'll wear an Eagles jersey. How about that?
Whoa. And that's why I have to say what I say. I'm a Falcons fan. Back to y'all.
All right, let's go in the huddle.
That was a good burn though, Allie. Not gonna lie. Good burn.
So the Saints have hired Thomas Dimitroff as a consultant. Yes, the ex-Falcons GM from 2008 to 2020.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to think of this. It's almost like, oh, you guys take Terry Fontenot. Guess what? Thomas Dimitroff back in the fold. Good for him. I like Thomas. I know that Falcons fans either love him or hate him or whatever it may be about the end of his tenure, but he led this team to heights not seen, previous to the time he was been here. So he's good in my book. He also drafted me. So
the best general manager in Falcons history at this point. I don't know how you dispute it. He drafted the best quarterback, the best receiver. Anyways, all right, here's the deal. I'm a big Thomas fan. I like him personally. We have a good relationship. I had zero feelings when I heard this. I went, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I go, well, I mean, what do I care? We fired him. He's been out of the league. He's not worked directly for a team in what? This is his fourth year.
I know that he was the CEO of that company for 3 years.
Fifth year.
Okay.
He was. And that company directly worked with with NFL teams. Supposedly, he's been doing this, the job that that has been announced now for a little while with the Saints, I mean, 6 months or something. I just don't care. It's not a big deal. He's not a traitor. We fired him. Okay? So if you're a Falcons fan, you're upset about it, I would have to ask you why.
It also doesn't directly affect like scheme. It's not like
anything.
It's not like he's getting given insight on Zach Robinson's game plan. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What is he like? He's like, yeah, Arthur. Yeah, he doesn't like chocolate chip cookies. He likes sugar cookies.
Yeah, that's
sweet.
My thing. Is like, yeah. It doesn't really affect anything. It's going to be. I will say the only feeling I had. You said you were just like whatever. I was like, it's going to be interesting to see him wearing a Saints shirt if I ever see that.
You know what will be interesting?
I was like, wow, that's going to be weird.
You know what will be interesting is when we go down there this year and they do their traditional let's take shots at 28-3 halftime show that they do every single year in that trash stadium of theirs. Let's see how he handles that. Let's see if that changes this year because they every year in 28-3, that's Thomas's era now. It's Thomas's coach, Thomas's team. So be interesting.
Let's talk about Tampa Bay. They have signed right tackle Luke Gadecki to a 4-year, $90 million extension that includes $50 million in guaranteed money.
Yeah, he's got he'll make his 39th start on Sunday against us. Mike, I remember you and I watching him. I guess it was his fourth year, so his second year, and he wasn't very good. And he's gotten better.
I'd say the same thing about Cody Mauch, too, or Malk, or however you say it. Y'all got me
Mauch's
questioning
right.
Everything I
Mauch
say.
Mauch is right. Morrow.
I would say the same thing about him as well, that they have both improved immensely in the way they go about their business as offensive linemen. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody given enough leash to improve over their first 4 years of their career the way Luke Gadecki has. And so – it's been impressive to watch. I'm happy for him. Keep in mind, Falcons fans, this is Jake Matthews' money. He is getting Jake Matthews' money as a right tackle. And I can't remember how much Tristan Wirfs is getting paid, but it's a lot of money as well. So anybody that wasn't happy about what the contract was for our right tackle about 3 or 4 weeks ago, go ahead and check yourself because that's a good grip of cash for Luke Gadecki, and he has gotten a lot better, as has Caleb McGarry over their careers at right tackle.
The Bills have signed wide receiver Gabe Davis, and Gabe is still recovering from a torn meniscus from last November.
He went home. I mean, that's where he'd been there before. He goes back there. It's crazy to me, and I have to double check with their roster, but I just don't feel like receiver-wise, Allen has that big-time traditional number one receiver every year in and year out.
Yeah, I'm with you. Josh Palmer's there, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, who obviously was kind of his go-to.
Coleman is supposed to be it eventually.
Yeah, I haven't been a big believer in his. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think that's the reason you signed back a guy like Gabe Davis, because it's like, all right, let's just keep going back to. It's like it's the Amari Cooper going to the Raiders, you know. And I don't think he's that, but it's like, that's just how you feel. It's like, what can we get? Who can we sign? It's Thielen going back to the Vikings, man. It just is what it is at this point, and you start turning to guys that you feel like you can depend on. So good for him.
Cam Hayward is still in the middle of a contract dispute, and he has had limited participation in the preseason training. Despite that, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin says he does believe Cam will play in the team's season opener against the Jets. However, last month, Cam did say he is open to sitting out regular season games while he waits on his raise.
I just feel like if he plays, I'm at the point where, so I guess if you're over 31, 32, in his case, what, over 35?
I was going to say, he's like 34 or 35 for sure.
I think he's 36. And you don't want to attend training camp? You just fake a contract dispute and do a hold-in, and then you're like, oh, you know, I'm ready to go week one.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it. And he's good, don't get me wrong. He's a good player. But I'm also sitting there going, I don't know that anybody in the Steelers front office is like, oh, man. You know, it's just, you're kind of to that point where you're like, man, he's an absolute legend for that team. He's a good player. But this is not like the upper tier. This is not Micah Parsons threatening to sit out of here. This is not Terry McLaurin threatening to sit out of here. This is like, okay, man, yeah, do what you want to do.
Well, and you said it. He's still good. He had a great year last year. But I think you just feel like it's probably fatigue at this point, because you're in the mindset of, well, we just did this. Like, I think they just did it last year. And in Hayward's thought process, well, we did it under the guys that if I went out and played great, we would do it again.
Right.
And I mean, when you get to a certain age, this big time guaranteed money runs out. That's why you do what Micah Parsons just did.
Yeah. I also think that, and you mentioned it, we're all just kind of tired of it. Like, mm-hmm. week one is this weekend. You know what I mean? And it's like, we're not Steelers fans, but I'm looking at this. Okay. All these other contract disputes that we spent the last 3 months talking about, mm-hmm. have all been resolved. You know what I mean? Like, we talked about everything with the Bengals. We talked about everything with the Commanders. We talked about everything with Micah. Like, okay, we're good. We're locked and loaded. It's week one. Let's move on. Oh, hey, I know that I said that I was going to be under contract, and I know I'm 36 years old, but I would like a little bit more money. And you're like, all right, man, hey, nobody's paying attention anymore. Go ahead.
Yeah, just figure it out yourself, Cam. Figure it out.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
We got to talk about this back and forth with Dabo Sweeney and Brian Kelly. We'll let you hear what is going on next. And it's Which One Wednesday. Which one would you rather see in week one? The Falcons defense forcing a turnover early, or the offense scoring on his first drive?
Ooh.
That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan behind the glass. And this segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Mike, you are jamming out over there.
I always try to give Dylan credit when he just changes it up. It's not about the kind of music. It's just about the vibes and just playing different things, man. And I'm a big fan of it. He's done a nice job the last couple of weeks of just throwing a couple curveballs at us a couple times a show.
Thank you, Mikey P. Appreciate that, man.
I think, in general, though, this week your vibes are high. You've been jamming to, like, different songs all morning.
I know, man.
You've had Morgan Wallen stuck in your head.
I have had not only him, but who were we talking about earlier?
Post Malone?
Post Malone, yeah. I've had that song stuck in my head.
Some
you a Posty fan?
Actually, not his country stuff. I'm not, but and I don't even know why. I just don't believe him. You know, I hate when people sing about stuff that I don't believe you.
It's hard to recover from when he dropped the album. What beer bongs and Bentleys?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I mean, and we've talked about this before on the show, like the crossover stuff. When people cross over their genres,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, if it's believable, I'm good. But I have a hard time believing that, you know, he's got people in, you know, his family that are repairing Bibles and making belt buckles. I don't know.
I will say it happens to the country format the most. I think that's why it's the most, like, defensive when people try to enter. Like,
you think so?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Everybody has their full career, and they're like, okay, now let me go see
Now's the time.
Country. Yeah. In the Huddle is brought to you by 50 Floor. Visit 50floor.com for your free in-home estimate. All right, we got to talk about Dabo Swinney and Brian Kelly. They are taking shots at each other. Of course, LSU beat Clemson over the weekend, 17-10. Let's hear from Dabo first talking about the game.
That is a physical group. It's a very smart quarterback. They're going to be a problem. And they got some explosive dudes. And we it was a hell of a game down the last play, right out of the gate. It's like getting the final exam day one of class. They made a 65. We made a 58. Neither one of us were great.
All right. So you heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brian Kelly, of course, had a response.
We dominated him in the second half. So he's either a really good grader giving himself a 58, or he's a really hard grader on us, or he didn't see the second half, which that might be the case. He might not have wanted to see the second half.
Wow. What are the odds that Brian Kelly actually heard Dabo's comment, like actually heard the cut? What are the odds? Because that was my first. I was like, I don't think he actually heard it.
Low, because the final score was 17-10. So a 7-point difference and a grade is pretty accurate. I thought Clemson, I'm trying to remember the game as much as I can. I thought Clemson played probably a little bit better in the first half than LSU, and I thought LSU played better in the second half. I just don't understand the smug response and the need for a response. Hey, dude, congratulations. You won your first game for the first time in like 5 freaking years. So maybe be a little bit humble about it, because you've been embarrassed the last few years at LSU, opening the season. So maybe just take it in stride and be like, yeah, I mean, I don't care. We won. The game's over. I'm going to go with my family. And, maybe slam my fist on the table and be fake angry because I'm a fraud and as a human being, allegedly.
This thing has gotten out of hand.
And just go about your business.
Your comment just kept spiraling. It's like,
I don't like
you're him. You're a fraud as a human.
Again.
I mean, it's he's fake tough guy.
Yeah,
either scream at your players with your little red face, and go punch a table. This taking a shot at Dabo because he's like, yeah, it was a 65-58 grading curve. I don't know why there's a 7-point difference, because that's the number they lost the game by.
Yeah.
It was a close freaking game. It was a very good game. So what do you got to act like this? You didn't beat them by 40 points.
Yeah, I just feel like
I don't feel the need for it.
That's why I led with that, because I was like, I just feel like this is Brian Kelly in his presser, and somebody goes, hey, what'd you think about Dabo grading y'all a 65?
Mm-hmm.
You know, grading the tape, he said, after the tape, he's 65. And he's like, oh, really? That's what he said? That's how I feel. And the whole cut is Dabo being like, man, they're really good. They're going to be a problem. They were physical. They were, the whole thing. And I don't dislike Brian Kelly to the amount that Bo does, but he does feel pretty fraudulent in the way that, since he's been at LSU.
We're sitting here again.
Just not – it's an interesting matchup, to say
the least. And I didn't feel this – I didn't dislike Brian Kelly really when he was at Notre Dame. And I've actually I've had a phone conversation with Brian Kelly. Super nice. Super nice on the phone. And he was at Notre Dame. There was stuff I'm not going to get into that people want to throw at him constantly. And that's – I don't know all the facts. I'm not going to bring that up. But I thought he did a hell of a job at Notre Dame, as good as he could have did. Took some unfair criticism because, he dealt with what he could. And he made national title games there. And then he goes to LSU and he starts – now he's got a Southern accent that came out of nowhere. Now he's pounding the table because he's losing the game. Like, all of a sudden – and then now he's just taking shots at Dabo because he finally won his opening game. Like, just chill. Just chill, Brian. Coach.
I do have a question, though, because you're saying, to your point, Mike, about there's probably more context to what Dabo was saying. They just threw it at Brian, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Shouldn't Brian – Brian knows that,
I know.
That there's probably
more
context.
That's the disappointing part.
Okay.
The disappointing part for me. And that's why I look at it and go, come on, dude. Like, you're better than this. No way you heard that entire cut and thought, man, I'm going to go after Dabo after he said that we're really good and we're going to be a problem. Yeah, just, I don't know. A little bit ridiculous.
I think that's it for me. It's like, you're just, what are you doing? You know, I don't remember Mike Norvell taking shots at you a couple years ago when they just beat the absolute crap out of you in the opening game and saying, yeah, Brian Kelly, but maybe go hang out with his family or something. Like, I just don't understand the need for it. Dude, it's Dabo. And he, by the way, last time I checked,
Ding.
Dabo's got twice as many national titles as you.
Well,
so, just saying.
Fair enough.
Before we get to Which One Wednesday, which is very Falcons heavy today,
okay.
This weekend, I want you to hit the road with me. I'm going out to Lithia Springs at Calavan Kia on Saturday from 12 to 2. Besides hanging out with me, there's a really good reason to stop by. One lucky fan is going to win the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand and other prizes. Plus, another winner is going to take home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that is this Saturday at noon until 2 o'clock at Calavan Kia in Lithia Springs with me, Allie Mack, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As always, Which One Wednesday's version of Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. This is going to be a good one because, Allie, I've been trying to decide your tees. I'm trying to decide in my mind which one, mm-hmm. and I still don't have it. So take it away.
All right, it is Which One Wednesday. I give them two scenarios, and Mike and Bo will have to decide which one they prefer. Which one would you rather see in week one? The Falcons defense forcing a turnover early or the offense scoring on its first drive?
This is a tough one for me. Go ahead, Bo.
Well, I think that one could breed the other. But because if you get an early turnover, maybe you get the ball in their possession, you score a touchdown on your first drive. I'll tell you this. It's the opening drive. Because we haven't seen we've seen some parts of the defense out there, right? We know what they can do. We haven't seen the offense, first team, at all in a game scenario. And so I think it could settle a lot of nerves in the crowd, on the coaching staff. Not that the coaches are worried, but just to kind of get that out of the way. And then the players be like, you know what? Now we're in a rhythm. Now we're feel the flow, all right? Feel the energy. Just go with it. Here we go. And everybody's just settled. You've settled in at that point. However, saw an early touchdown last year against Pittsburgh, and then we didn't see another one, I don't think.
Can I select the kind of turnover? Is that fair?
Why not? Go for it.
I was going to say, just for argument's sake, if it's a strip sack turnover and Baker Mayfield fumbles, give me that one. If it's just an interception, I'd probably rather see the offense go up and down the field on the first drive. Because I think the strip sack is just very indicative of everything we've seen this offseason in terms of what we think the pass rush can be. I would go with that one. But nonetheless, it's a tough choice.
All right, Mike, you're going to start this next one. Which one would you rather have on your home opener game day hype soundtrack?
Okay.
Outkast or Ludacris?
Probably Ludacris. I think he's a little more angry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, his songs just have a little more, move, get out the way. You know what I mean? And also, he has that one about the Georgia Dome, you know what I mean, on the 50-yard line.
Yep,
so I'm good with that. Give me Luda all day.
Well, it's Outkast all day long.
Okay.
I like Luda, you know, cool dude, but it's all about Outkast, man. I mean, coming from the guy with the worst Outkast top five list of all time, this is the answer I expected from you.
You guys are starting to gatekeep this whole Georgia Atlanta thing, all three of you, and I don't like it.
We're not gatekeeping anything. We're schooling you.
We just want you to say Morrow, right? That's all.
All right.
Tomorrow.
Which one would mean more in this matchup on Sunday? Michael Penix throwing for 300 yards or the defense holding the Bucs under 20 points? Bo, you're up.
I think the defense holding the Bucs under 20 points, because to me, if you're an NFL team and your defense holds someone under 20 points, you're winning the game. You should win the game. If you're a good team, if you're a playoff team, if you're the team that we think you are. So I think it would be a great sign for the defense to come out strong like that. And look, Tampa Bay's offense, they score points. They scored, 31 in the overtime game against us. And I think they put another 20 up the second time, so 20 plus. So They're an offense that'll score points.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat as that. I think I'd like to hold you under 20, and the simple fact is I think it would be great if Michael Penix threw for 300, but remember in this game last year, Kirk went for 509. Mm. You know what I mean? So, like, it can be done against Todd Bowles' defense, and hopefully they come out gunning. But, yeah, give me the holding under 20. Our defense got question marks we need to answer.
And this was a top-five offense last year. In fact, this was the fourth-best scoring offense in the league, averaging just under 30 a game, so...
All right, we all saw, and we talked about it on the show today, the Georgia Tech jersey that was just a little bit too large.
A garbage bag.
It was a garbage bag. Would you, and I think I know the answer now that we talked about it on the show, would you rather go into a game with a jersey that's too big or too tight?
Yeah, I think the answer was put out there
an
hour ago. Give me one that is an extra, extra, extra small. I might go out there and look like a busted can of biscuits in that white jersey, but you know what? Nobody's going to grab me.
Yeah, as a short, small, slow human being, I don't need anything that's going to slow me down anyway. You know, I need the most, the aerodynamic thing I can get. And that tight jersey is going to be aerodynamically fit for me.
You will not see that jersey ever again.
Also, I don't want to make me looking even smaller than I already am. Yeah.
Last one, just for fun. Which one would you rather deal with? Laundry that never ends.
Oh.
Or dishes that never end?
Dude. Dishes all day long.
Not even close.
Because guess what?
Not even close.
I don't got to fold them.
No.
Don't got to fold them. Don't got to sort them. You know, as you guys know, I separate the clothes. Dishes all day long.
You got to put them away. And I hate laundry. I hate folding laundry. I will agree with you on that. I am at this point in my livelihood where the things that are in my dishwasher are tiny. Like all the like the kids' lids and straws and just the caps of their juice. Like, it's ridiculous. It takes me like a freaking hour, it feels like, to unload the dishwasher. No, I hate laundry to the nth degree, but I would rather deal with it than dishwasher right now in my day.
Well, and the thing is, laundry's never done anyway, right? I mean, you're wearing
Neither's
something.
Dishes.
That's true. It's both of them. They're never done.
Neither one. I'm hiring a maid.
It's an invalid question. Coming up, we do have the wake-up call on the way, 404-726-0929. What are your concerns for Sunday with our season opener, 404-726-0929? Do you have a preference over laundry or dishes being endless? Let us know. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.